the discussion of end times. There have been millions of books, commentaries, sermons, debates, dialogues, telecasts over all the ages to try to explain and understand this one book. And, you know, some of the explanations have been from the real traditional and orthodox to the far-fetched and even heretical. I mean, you know, it's aliens or it's, you know, the return of the Lord. I mean, we just get a whole spectrum of what people look at. This final book of the Bible has never been short on controversy. Even when they were putting together the canon of God's Word, there were some that were arguing this book is just, in my language today, so out there, does it even belong in the Bible? So it's never been short of debate. And so the obvious question I think anyone can ask is, why should Pastor Joshua or any one of us just add our opinion, like another drop in the bucket, to an endless debate of people talking about this? After all, is there not just an opinion that we can all find, that we can all come to a general consensus of, agree, get behind it, and then let's just move on with real world stuff? Like happiness, joy, and love, and faith, and those are important things. I'm not trying to disparage that. I'm just saying a lot of people have the approach to Revelation is, that's so out there, it's so hard to study, let's just move on to things that I can really get my hands around. Well, I actually want to answer those two questions a little bit before we get into our message. Yes, there are strong commentaries. There are excellent ministries. There are phenomenal ministers who have dedicated their entire life to the study of the book of Revelations and Revelation and the end times. But it is also a very sad commentary on our church culture today that many people, including pastors, have never read the book of Revelation. And they do not even bother studying the book of Revelation. And therefore, what you have largely in the church are people who have picked a little bit from here and a little bit from there, jammed it together and say, this is what I kind of think is going to happen. And sadly enough, what we end up promoting is quite possibly something unbiblical. Not intentional. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying people are walking around trying to be intentional heretics. I'm saying if I take a little bit of this and a little bit of that and don't study it and jam it together and then making a statement like, this is what I believe, you may not know why you believe it. It just might sound good. And it might just feel right. And after all, would we not all agree we want to be lovers of God's Word? Amen. Would we not all agree with that? If I ask, raise a hand, who wants to be a lover of God's Word? Okay? Who wants to be a sincere disciple of the words of Christ? Okay? So we're all in agreement there. So let's avoid this, well, he said, and he said, and even Pastor Joshua said. Let's find out what the Word said. The Word speaks very well for itself. It's not nearly as frightening as you might think. We all agree that we want the full counsel of God's Word. The full counsel. Not just part of the counsel, the full counsel. Now, secondly, I want to talk about Revelation, because when people say, well, this is not real world, I would actually argue just the opposite. It is real world. The events recorded by the Apostle John were given by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. They were given to John by Jesus' own words, and therefore they apply to everyone of every age. The events that John shares are real. They are for everyone to listen to. And yes, there's a continuing debate whether this book is to be explored as a certain way. And you know, we're going to explore the debate. Some look at the discussion as allegorical. Some look at it as literal. Some say it's already past. Some say it's present. Some say it's yet to come. We'll even explore some of the debate. But let me tell you, just because it's a debate does not mean the book of Revelation needs to be marginalized or lessened in its importance. Rather, I believe we as believers have an obligation to take the time to absorb, pray, meditate, and seek out the Holy Spirit to help us understand this book. And let me take it out of the classroom for a second and just put it into real everyday life. When people say it's not real world, well, let me tell you something. At the end of life, everybody wonders about the following. How does it all end? Right? Everyone wonders about that. Not just about world, their life. They want to know, am I going there? What happens here? Am I going there? How do I know? When do I know? And just like when I was a little boy watching that clip, after seeing that, I didn't walk out of there saying, huh, whatever. I was like, I want to know. I want to know. I don't want to just walk out and say, that was interesting. Now, let me give you a little spoiler on the book of Revelation. Ready? Here it is. So now you're going to say, I don't have to ever listen to another message on Revelation. In the end, those who are with Jesus Christ win. Okay? In the end, those who... Now listen, I didn't say Christians. Notice that? I didn't say Christians. I said, in the end, those who are with the biblical Jesus win. So there you go. There's the spoiler. It's all ruined. In the end, if you're with the biblical Jesus, you win. But let's look a little bit at the book of Revelation. There have been wars throughout the ages, right? We know that as fact. But the historical fact, not the Pastor Joshua, not the church fact, the historical fact is the 20th century has been the bloodiest century in recorded history. Through technological advancements, we have been able to kill more with less quicker than ever before. Whereas it may have taken years to make a nation or a city fall, we can make a city or nation capitulate within hours, and at the most, days. The 20th century has never seen such chaos, political crisis, lasting generations that have touched nations against nations and people worldwide. And as we have seen, even in our recent terror alert in Boston, just two people have the ability to shut down a major metropolitan city and even affect a national stock market. The reality is, unlike any other time before, what does happen in Beijing will affect what happens in your life in Franklin. That never happened before. And truthfully, I do not think anyone can be serious-minded if we were to look at the prophetic outline given to us in Scripture that is telling us that we are headed toward a fulfillment unlike any other time past. Let's continue. But then there are those who say the book of Revelation is too hard to understand. It can't be agreed on. Let's just move past it. But I want to tell you, the Holy Spirit is able to help you understand. Listen, that's serious. The Holy Spirit's helped you to help you understand. Here again, you have to trust that the Holy Spirit will guide you through this process. As Jesus revealed the revelation to John, it became a revealed truth to us in this book. Certainly there are things in this book that John could not understand. And we read that, and we're going to read that when we get further into our study. There are some examples that John is throwing out there that just seems absolutely beyond reach. But think, in the first century, what John was seeing, he was giving his best effort to explain. And today, what we see when we hear John's explanations of things, we say, well, that's not that far off. For example, John saw the stars falling from the heavens. Now that might have seemed crazy, wild in the first century, yet we just saw 2.5 months ago an asteroid careen across the space in Russia and blast the size of an atomic bomb, some said, that blew out windows miles away. Some would say, well, John saw the sky darken, but we saw in the 1992 Gulf War that when the oil fields in Kuwait were lit on fire by Saddam Hussein, for months the sun did not even shine through the thick smoke. So you see, that's not nearly as far off as we would like to say it was, right? So then we go a little bit further. John did not understand everything, but John never doubted what he saw was truth. That's important for you to get that. John may not have understood what it might look like for a star to be falling and crashing to the earth, but he understood it was true. And therefore, we should not doubt there's truth in the book. And I believe that you really do need the Holy Spirit to help you through that, to aid you along the way. But I'm going to actually go a little bit further here and make a not so bold assertion in Revelation. Are you ready? The book of Revelation is the capstone of God's word to man. Think about that for a moment. From Genesis 1 all the way to Revelation, Revelation becomes the capstone of the whole revealed Word of God. It's the final revelation that Jesus is telling us about what's happening. Let me just give you some highlights here to whet your appetite. Are you ready? In the book of Revelation, God will tell us the names of nations, of people, of political figures, wars, plague, life-changing events, miracles, salvations, world-changing events, public policy, and even the private intentions of men's hearts. So I have two goals in this series. One is to answer some key questions about Revelation in a clear and concise manner. But the other is to motivate all of us to live as God would want us to live in light of such coming days ahead. When we open up the book of Revelation, it begins with this beautiful language to the reader that lets us know that this is God's self-revelation. And therefore, the book of Revelation is a book of consummation. It's not Revelation and then Revelation 2.0. It is the final testament. Revelation tells us how the story will end that began in Genesis 1. And it even proceeds to teach us about a future we can't even begin to conceive of. As I said earlier, when we get into the book of Revelation, we're going to actually read about a 7-year period of global devastation, divine judgment, the rise and fall of a global world leader, the rise and fall of global religions, governments, economies, war, worship, final judgment, heaven, earth, the return of the Lord, a theocracy where God is king for 1,000 years. And at the end of the day, the book of Revelation tells you where the whole world is headed and where we're headed. You know, I love a journey, but I don't like a journey where I don't know where I'm headed. Do you? Let's get on a trip. Let's go to Florida. Where? Let's just get in the car and go. No, you want a destination. When I took the kids to Florida last year, we took a road trip, and I punched into the GPS. I hadn't been to this part in Florida. I punched into the GPS. Here's the street, and here's where we're headed. And my GPS calculated, 7 hours and 25 minutes, and you get on this road. And that's what we're going to do with the book of Revelation. Revelation is telling you where you're headed. It's not just a journey. It's a journey that tells you where it's all ending. The Revelation, though, is so much more than this. This is what I love about Revelation. It's so much more than just this, though. Because the book of Revelation actually reveals to us the great doctrines of Scripture. Revelation is theologically power-packed with spiritual vitamins that speak of God's holiness and sovereignty. In Revelation, we are given a certain peace that in a super storm, God is still in control when the world seems out of control. And best of all, Revelation tells us that God has a plan. He's not just winging it. He's not just making it up on the fly. And when the final amen is said, you can rest assured that God's plan was 100% accurate. Revelation gives us a power doctrine of Jesus Christ as Lord. Before we even get into Revelation, let me tell you this. Jesus is mentioned in the book of Revelation 28 times as the Lamb slain and yet alive forevermore. Jesus is worshipped in Revelation as God. Jesus is the focus of prophecy and all history. And through Jesus, by faith, salvation has been given and it is received at the price of His death on the cross of sin. In Revelation, we read of the washing of His blood that removes our stains from sin. And finally, in Revelation, we see Jesus as the King who is coming, as the King of all kings, and the Lord of all lords. Revelation speaks about a very, quote, real world. And as if that was not real enough, what I just shared with you, let me tell you what else is real in Revelation. It gives us the unveiling of men's complete and total depravity. Because in Revelation, we start to see that man is deserving of a divine and a holy judgment. It's a desperate need of the grace of our Savior. Throughout Scripture, we're going to read such stories in the book of Revelation of a supercharged machine of evil, sin on steroids, if you will. If you think it's bad now, Revelation tells you sin will get even more bold and strong in these days. We'll read in Revelation such horrible sins as blasphemy and rebellion and complete and utter depravity. The book of Revelation is complete with a view of divine history as well as earthly history. And in the end, let me tell you, there will not be any human empire that will endure. There will not be any competing superpower and committee of alternate faiths. There will not be any opinions and cultures. There will be a new culture, a new power. It'll be a God culture. And the only opinion that will matter in the end is God's opinion. And only those who have faith in Jesus Christ will share in such a revelation. But let me tell you this. Revelation is not just a New Testament invention. In the 404 verses, and I counted. Someone else counted for me. In the 404 verses in the book of Revelation, 278 of those verses are direct allusions to the Old Testament. More than half of the book of Revelation, in fact, the entire book of the Revelation, is saturated with the Old Testament. And the scribe, the Apostle John, claimed that the message was divinely inspired. Now, if this was not enough to whet your appetite, let me just throw a little bit more on the grill to get you hungry. The book of Revelation says the most about angels, demons, evil, and Satan. It shows us how Satan desires and tries with all he can to destroy God's people. Let me tell you what you're going to see in Revelation. That Satan hates the Jews. Satan hates Israel, and Satan hates those who stand with the biblical Jesus. Why does he hate the Jews? Why? Why does he hate the land of Israel? Well, it becomes very simple. God has a chosen people that he made a covenant with. Regardless of their standing right now with him, God made a covenant. God made a covenant with that land. And God made a covenant with his Gentiles. And that infuriates Satan. He will do all he can in the Revelation to bring such unholy hatred and persecution through policies and plans, and no longer will he just operate through an antichrist system, but he will reveal an actual antichrist and false prophet to carry out such hatred. But even in the end, those plans will end in a lake of fire. Finally, the book of Revelation carries with it the only book in the entire Bible that says there's a special blessing for those who read it and keep what is written in it. For this reason, some have even called the book of Revelation the blessing book. I love that. It's the blessing book. We're about to take a bold step into the book of Revelation. It's going to give us a working outline. It's going to give us a track that we can go through. And certainly there will be times that we're going to have to reach back into Scripture to make certain points come together. But certainly we're going to see one thing. This is God's magnus opus. It's His great work. You don't need to be scared. You don't need to be like I was. You don't in that little movie there. You don't need to be worried. You don't need to be concerned. You need to be ready. You need to be ready. The book of Revelation is a blessing book. And so I want us to conclude today's introductory message by actually reading the book of Revelation, chapter 1, verses 1 through 3 together. Because I want the blessing of God in our homes as we go forward.